As we have progressed through the prophecy of Joel for the past few weeks, we have been reminded over and over that man is on a collision course with Almighty God. There is going to be a great and terrible day of judgment. It will be a day of fear. It will be a day of trembling. It will be a day of natural disasters such as man has never seen. Remember that Joel said, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Rend your hearts and not your garments." We're in the season of Lent together, and we are approaching our remembrance of what was probably the most awful week in history, the week that our Savior, Jesus Christ, was crucified for us. It is a week that could have culminated in God's wrath being poured out on mankind for our sin. And everything that Joel predicted could have happened that week. But instead, God placed all of the wrath on the supreme sacrifice for you, for me. The final day of judgment was postponed. Lent is a season when we're reminded to rend our hearts, repent of our sins, and return to God. Rend, repent, return. Are you doing that? Or are you complacent about this season of Lent? Holy Week was a dark, dark week. But it culminated in light and in hope. And that is exactly what Joel's very dark prophecy does. That's where his prophecy is headed. We touched on it last week. In all of the gloom of his predictions, there was still light and there was still hope. We are still in chapter 2 this week, and I'm beginning in verse 13. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Verse 18. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. It could just as easily have said correctly, the Lord will be zealous for his people. God is passionate about you. Hallelujah. God is passionate, zealous about you. He loves his children, and you have been grafted into the vine of Israel. You are children of God, and he loves you with a passion. Psalm 136, 1. Give thanks to God, for he is good. His love endures forever. How long does his love endure? How long? Hallelujah! No matter how down you may feel, no matter how in the dumps you may feel right now in your life or will in the future, God's love for you endures forever. Never forget that. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. Yes. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will quiet you with his love. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. Claim it for your own. As the hymn writer says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen and amen. So we come today to Joel 2, verse 19. And this is the beginning of what is called the Lord's reply. And this is what the Lord says. I am sending you grain and new wine and oil enough to satisfy you fully. I was so tempted to preach on just that verse. And so I'm going to preach on just that verse in June. But right now, we'll move on. Now, we've been talking about what the locust did to the Hebrews, devouring their food, their source of food on the land. And we talked about the prophecy in the book of Revelation, where seven angels blew the seven trumpets, and we learned that all the food sources in the sea and in the rivers and on the land were affected. But God said to his people, God says to you, to his people, those who rend their hearts and surrender to him in love, he is going to send grain and wine and oil that will fully satisfy. In verse 21, God even says, be not afraid. Be glad. In the midst of all of this darkness and terror, he says, be not afraid. Be glad. And he doesn't say it once. He says it three times with three emphases. Verse 21, be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Verse 22, be not afraid, O wild animals. For the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Verse 23, be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. God loves us so much that he wants to comfort his entire creation, the land, everything that's living in the land, and us. Hallelujah. That is the Lord's reply. That is the Lord's promise. And you and I are the recipients of that promise. God's people have an even greater promise than the rest of his creation. God expresses it this way. He says, he gives to his people the autumn and the spring rains. Now that is significant. Why is it significant? Well, in the Holy Land, the summer months were dry. There was a drought. There was no rain. There is no rain in the summer in Israel. And the crops cannot grow in the summertime. But when the autumn arrives, that is when the rains return and they break the drought. And they call it the early rain. And that is when the farmers prepare the land for planting. We do it in the spring. They do it in the fall. And the rains linger through the wintertime and they end in the springtime. And it's in the springtime when they bring their harvest, their full harvest. It's very different from our way of life. In other places in the Bible, we read about the autumn rains. And whenever you read about it, it's always it's a symbol. It is always the same symbolic language. And this is what it means. Just as the rain refreshes the soil, so does the Holy Spirit of God refresh your soul. Yes. Now let's be honest. You and I get dry periods in our lives. We have dry spiritual times in our lives. True? In fact, it wasn't such a great night last night at the Causey household. Didn't get a lot of sleep. Got up this morning and looked at the weather and looked at the wind and looked at the rain, and I decided I'd like to stay home today. I felt pretty spiritually dry today. But I had to come. I'm glad I'm here. Spiritual dryness may be brought about by disappointments in your life. They may be brought about by mistakes that you make or other people make in your life. Spiritual dryness could be because of discouragements in your life, or grief in your life, or sickness in your life. They may not even be huge trials or tribulations. They could just be the everyday things that happen to all of us. Have you ever had everyday things just happen to you and you just felt like, ugh? Ever been there? But God wants to send His Holy Spirit and refresh your soul and encourage you just like the autumn rains. Are you a receptive vessel of that? Did you hear what you just sang? I'm going to go back to that song you just sang. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. God fills your cup. Hallelujah. Are you a receptive cup? Listen to Psalm 84, verses 5 and 6. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, Lord. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. What is the valley of Baca? The translation of the valley of Baca is the valley of weeping. If life has you at a point of weeping right now, brothers and sisters, know this, God will send the autumn rains, and He will send the Counselor to you. You may be passing through a valley right now, but just remember this, you are only passing through it. You will get to the other end, and keep going through it, keep going, because at the other end, God always has a plan, and He is there for those who walk through the valley with Him, because He's walking through that valley with you. Are you walking through it with Him? He wants to hold your hand. Are you holding His hand? That's why, in the midst of all this darkness that Joel brings to us in this prophecy, God adds, be not afraid. Verse 24, the threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. That is one of the most precious promises in God's word. Joel 2:25. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. It is also one of the most quoted verses of this entire prophecy. What is it all about? It can be summed up in one word, and that word is restoration. And it's a restoration at its very best. And here's one of the reasons. God's promise is not the restoration of money. It's not the restoration of property. It's not the restoration of material things. It's a promise to restore time. The years that the locusts have eaten, that is a supernatural promise that only God can fill in your life. Now, for the Hebrews, their land had been devastated by the locust over a period of years. What have the locusts eaten in your life? As you think about that question, just let your mind wander back to last year, 2018. What did the locust eat in your life in 2018? 2017? Think back decades. What are the locusts eaten in your life? Are there any periods in your life that are marked by losses that you wish that you could restore, wish you could do over? If you're like me, you've had that conversation with yourself many times, and you've probably had that conversation with other people as well. I've heard a number of people say, I feel like I wasted the years of my youth because I did not serve the Lord when I was a teenager or a young person. I lost all those years. I was a rebel. Did you do that? How long was it before you humbled yourself and you repented and you returned to God, your Maker? Was it 20 years? Was it 40 years? For anyone who can identify with that example, rejoice in the fact that God can restore all of the years, all of them, that the locusts have eaten. For some of you, He's already done that. And for some of you, it may still be in your future. I don't know. Some of you here have walked with the Lord for a long, long time. But possibly, you may have been walking on the other side of the street. You did not really walk closely with Him. You walked near Him, but not by Him. You were lukewarm about God, complacent about God, not really close to God. And perhaps you still are. I don't know. Perhaps you prefer to do what pleases you rather than what pleases God. Is that where you are right now? Are you complacent about God? Do you regret it? God can restore all those years of complacency. Well, there are so many other possible illustrations. Let me probe a little bit. Did you stop school too early? Did you marry the wrong person? Don't answer. Have you gone through divorce? Have you had an abortion? Did you foolishly gamble away money? Did you relocate your family when you should have stayed put? Did you buy a house that you really could not afford? Did you disobey your parents? Did you commit a crime that haunts you even to this day? Do you live in fear that other people might find out something about your past that you really do not want them to know? Listen, God can restore to you all the years that the swarming locusts have eaten in your life. He did it for Job. Look what happened to Job. Job lost 10 children. Job lost massive wealth. Job lost his health. His wife said, "Curse God and die." But he didn't. Job remained faithful to God, and God restored him, and He restored him abundantly. Whoops, maybe that went by too fast. Maybe I need to say that again. Not the part where God restored him abundantly, the part where I said, Job remained faithful to God. Larry Mayfield and John Moore wrote a Christian song that was made famous by Steve Green. I bet many of you know it. The title is Find Us Faithful. And here are just some of the lyrics. We are pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light the way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. That is an inspiring message. But there's something missing in that. It does not say, may all who walk with us today find us faithful. I think it should say that. And the song goes on, but it ends with some words that, frankly, I never heard before. I've heard this song over and over and over, but I never, ever listened to these words. And when I read them, I thought, really? That's in here? Listen. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories that they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. That's very practical, isn't it? If you have children or grandchildren, they are going to have to sift through your stuff. And if you don't have children or grandchildren, somebody else is going to have to sift through your stuff. Will they discover about you that your life was faithful to God? When they look in your closets and your garages and your attics and your basement and they see what you're holding on to, what will it say about your life? Ouch. I pray that they will say, they found me faithful to God. Can you say that about yourself? Will that be said about you on the day of judgment? Ouch. Will you be found faithful to God? Yes, God does restore the years that the locusts have eaten for those who remain faithful to Him. That's what the Word says. That is a promise. That is a challenge. That is a requirement. That is a calling. Brothers and sisters, if you come here on Sunday mornings just to be inspired, then you have come here with a very selfish motive. And I hope every time you come here, you are inspired. I pray, you know, you need inspiration. Don't you? You need inspiration. And God wants to breathe the life of His love into you. He wants to put the Holy Spirit in you and fill your cup again and again and again and strengthen you. But you also need to come here on Sunday mornings with a much, much higher motive than inspiration. The number one thing, we've talked about it a lot, is worship God, praise God. But you also need to come here with hearts that are open to being convicted. Ouch. To being corrected. To being warned. To being challenged. How are your spiritual muscles doing? How are your spiritual muscles doing? Don't be satisfied with the strength of your spiritual muscles the way they are. Be determined to grow in the process of sanctification. And today, the message that I hope is loud and clear is this. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. If you need this, then do it. Tell God, Lord, I have spent too many years distant from You. I want to be closer to You. So, Lord, I pray that You will fill my life with Your love anew and afresh, and that You will make my future years with You even stronger than all my former years. Amen, Lord. I close with this thought. Isaiah vividly described Jesus Christ as the suffering servant. In chapter 53, verses 8 and 9, it says, He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, He was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, though He had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in His mouth. The locust had a feast with Jesus Christ. They swarmed all over him and they tried to destroy God's plan of salvation for you. But God restored everything that the locust attempted to eat. Jesus Christ lives. And so shall you. Remain faithful to God. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, may we indeed take your hand and walk closely with you and walk faithfully with you. And Lord, I pray that in that prayer of recommitment to you, Lord, that you will lead us in the way everlasting to your glory, that all who come behind us will find us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.